We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's the middle of August, and if your baseball fantasy team is dead, not mine, but if it is, you're probably already thinking about your fantasy football draft. So joining me once again, I talked to him a lot during the season last year, and I appreciated that. And that is Brad Evans of Yahoo Sports. Good to talk to you again. How you been?
Hola, amigo. I've been splendid because it's David Montgomery season.
That's who you're very high on right now. How early do you take David Montgomery, Brad?
Well, it is ridiculous. It's a bit of a sickness, really. kind of a strong infatuation, maybe borderline obsession. I think David Montgomery right now, you know, based on his spectacular performance on, forget John Elway's drive against Cleveland back in the day.
Yeah.
The drive was David Montgomery with the second stringers in the first preseason game when she was catching passes, displaying six spin moves, an incredible jump cut, which he then scampered around the outside, plowed through a couple defenders for six. You know, his ADP is skyrocketing. I have written, I think, over 5,000 words of hyperbole already about him, so I'm not really helping the cause, but he's gone from a round five typical draft pick in 12-team leagues right now, and I've seen him going as high as the early portion to mid portion of round three. So I think another standout performance this weekend, and I think he's going to be locking that round three range, and I'm all right with that.
He is the perfect guy to be so hyped up because we always get excited about rookies, no matter what. Every year we try to find rookies. He's a running back, number one, so that adds to the excitement. Number two, he was drafted by the Chicago Bears. Number three, when you look at the depth chart in Chicago, there's nothing to be scared about. I mean, Tariq Cohen and Mike Davis aren't scaring you. And then here's the topper. He gives you that really good preseason week one performance. He has all the ingredients of the guy that everybody gets excited about.
Yeah, and I had a few cherries at the top of that sundae that you're building right now. You know, the Bears have a top 10 offensive line. They have an ultra-elite defense, which will lead to positive game scripts. And I don't know if you saw the comments from Matt Nagy. You know, he was talking about and saying, oh, there's going to be a lot more of those touchdowns. He said that directly to Montgomery after he scored, and they really talked him up after the game. And then the next day, when the reporters, you know, brought the subject back up, he goes, yeah, that TD run was just average. He's, you know, served up a big old slice of humble pie in Belichick style because he is so giddy, so excited for what this youngster is going to do once he is given free reign week one against the arch rival Green Bay Packers on opening night, that I think this kid has the potential to be Kareem Hunt 2.0, and we saw what he did under Nagy's tutelage in Kansas City.
All right, let me go to the top of the draft. To me, and maybe it's the biases of being here in New York, obviously these two teams in town have two guys that will be first-round picks in Saquon Barkley and Le'Veon Bell. But I would take Saquon number one overall. Is that kind of the consensus right now in the community?
Yeah, it's a little bit split. I mean, there's some people that are team Alvin Kamara. There's some people that are team CMC, Christian McCaffrey. There's still people holding on to Zeke Elliott despite the holdout. I think that is going to get solved sooner rather than later. I think Zeke, you know, if he slips to number five overall in your fantasy draft, you pounce like a panther on that one. Because, again, Jerry's going to cave. If we know anything about Jerry Jones, he pays his guys, right? And he knows how well Dallas is set up this season to be successful, not only with its own division, but the entirety of the NFC. So I think a deal's going to get done there. I am team Saquon as well at number one overall. Look, this is a guy that was a king of consistency on a mostly shoddy team of the New York Giants last year. You know, guy getting, 14 games, 100-plus yards, reaching double figures in fantasy production in 14 of those 16 contests. You know, I don't care, you know, about Golden Tate's issues or the fact that, you know, Sterling Shepard's just kind of an average number one wide receiver. Eli Manning, who cares how much gas he has left in the tank? I think the offensive line is improved. And because of Saquon, no matter how the game flows, no matter how it scripts, he's going to get his 20 to 25 touches, and he's going to inflict serious damage in the process. So, yes, if you are gifted the number one overall pick, even if you're a Jets fan,
yes,
you're taking Saquon Barkley.
Hey, I am a Jets fan, and the only part of me that flirts with the idea of Le'Veon Bell is twofold. Number one, I'm a Jet fan, and so there is something extra special about having that guy on your team. And the second thing is we shouldn't forget how awesome he is. I know he missed all of last year. I'm not worried that missing time is really adversely going to affect him. What say you?
I think it's a blessing in disguise.
Yeah.
You know, for a guy with accumulated volume and touches that, you know, were burdening his body parts, having that year off, now granted, he did it in spectacular fashion. You go to Miami, you're riding around on jet skis, you're making really crappy rap albums, you're throwing yourself parties. I mean, good for Le'Veon Bell. But he's fit, he's in shape, he looks great. And I think having that one-year hiatus healed him, and he's going to come back and roar back with a vengeance. You know, kind of similar to what Adrian Peterson experienced a few years ago, you know, when he was suspended for an entire season and came back very strong. So I have the utmost confidence in Le'Veon Bell. I like the offense as a whole is definitely ascending. Sam Darnold's looks spectacular. I like the chemistry that he is building right now with Jamison Crowder. Robbie Anderson's going to get more involved in underneath routes instead of just being a primary downfield threat. Get Chris Herndon back after the suspension. And, you know, sky's the limit, really, for the Jets. I think they are a true challenger for a wild card spot. And, no, I'm not sipping the Kool-Aid.
If you are, it's okay. I mean, right now, this is the time of year. This is the time of year to sip the Kool-Aid. I mean, if there's ever a time to be optimistic,
yeah,
it's freaking August before anything bad happens. I want to get back to what you said about Zeke, because I tend to agree that just knowing Jerry Jones and how desperate he is to win, Zeke's going to be on the field. But do you pause a little bit because of what happened last year with Le'Veon Bell? I think when Le'Veon Bell was drafted in most leagues last year, in the first round, whether it was top 1, 2, 3, or 4, there was an expectation of he's going to be back. He may miss a few weeks, but he's going to play. Does what happened last year, at least in the back of your mind, make you hesitate about a guy like Zeke and obviously Melvin Gordon as well?
No, but I'm also an eternal optimist. That's why I was born and raised a Chicago Cubs fan. So here's the thing. This is a different situation entirely, Zeke's compared to Le'Veon Bell's. There isn't this franchise tag history, which there was a great deal of disdain. I think that was housed internally in the mind of Le'Veon Bell with the Pittsburgh Steelers franchise because of those tags. Zeke Elliott has leverage. He knows it. Some people say, well, he's got zero leverage. You always have leverage with Jerry Jones, especially when you're the heart and soul of that entire offense. The man had over 70 receptions last season, 3.12 yards after contact per attempt. We know what he can do between the tackles as a guy that is a mound mover. They have to have him. He has to be the Pistons that pump the engine in order for this team to make the playoffs. You're not going to do it with Tony Pollard, despite all the superlatives and gushing that Dak Prescott is throwing out there saying, oh yeah, this kid we got late in the draft is a special player. Hogwash, poppycock. It doesn't make any sense to me. They will figure it out with Zeke Elliott. Again, if he falls to number 5 in your fantasy draft, do not be skittish. Go out there and draft him with the utmost confidence. Even if he misses a game or two and hangs out in Cabo for an extended vacation, even 14 games of Zeke Elliott could yield a top 3 overall RB performance.
Did you accept Le'Veon Bell's apology when he apologized to all the fantasy owners he hosed last year?
Yeah, absolutely. The fact that he even recognized we exist, I stand up and applaud him. Now, there were some people in the industry, I'm not going to name names, who were throwing barbs at him saying, well, you should donate to charity, Le'Veon Bell, because you cost me my $5 that I put into my league. Whatever it was, I thought that was unnecessary. It wasn't a jab that had to be thrown. Again, the fact that he was throwing us a bone, he was being sympathetic to our cause and to our community, again, I thought it was laudable.
Talking to Brad Evans as we talk fantasy, what does Mark Ingram being away from New Orleans do for Alvin Kamara?
Well, I don't think his role is going to change a ton. I mean, a lot of people are expecting him to see a skyrocket in opportunity share. It was around 65% last season. It may uptick 5, 6, 7%, something like that. But they bought in Latavius Murray for a reason, to be that guy that can spell Alvin Kamara, you know, from time to time. You know, I think consistently he's going to get probably right around 17 touches per game. But he is a master of efficiency. You're running behind arguably a top 10 offensive line, easily in a top 5 overall offense that has become more and more leaning on its defense and the ground game. So, again, I think he's a guy that is easily worth a top 5 overall selection. Very safe floor for me because of the scoring duality, the ability to do it on the ground and through the air, that he's a guy that's going to pay you instant dividends for fantasy purposes.
All right, at what point in the first round, Saquon's gone, Kamara's gone, Zeke is gone, Le'Veon's gone, Dave, I mean, there's actually maybe 5 or 6 running backs before we move off of that position. But at what point do you say, okay, I'm going to take a wide receiver, or I'm going to take Patrick Mahomes? When do you do that in the first round?
Well, let's be clear. You're not drafting Patrick Mahomes, even at his 38.8 overall ADP. It's too rich. The chances of him throwing 50 touchdowns this season are the chances of me winning a bachelorette competition. It ain't going to happen. Have you seen my face? It ain't pretty. So, look, I'd rather have a Luck. I'd rather have a Rodgers. I'd rather have a Deshaun Watson some 40 picks later on average. So let's get that notion immediately out of our mind. So if you're sitting there at the turn into 12-team league, it's usually between James Conner. If you really want to be a riverboat gambler, you go after Todd Gurley, who I would stay far, far away from because he has an arthritic knee.
Well, let me ask you this, and I agree with you, and I had him number one overall last year, and it was a success. I had a great time with Todd Gurley. It was fantastic. How far away are you staying? At what point in the drop do you say, blanket, I got to take him, he's Todd Gurley?
If he's there in round three, maybe I roll a dice.
Okay.
But I think it's a really deep round three draft class at the running back position this year. Getting guys like Aaron Jones, who I think is going to take a step forward in his overall production as the main man with Aaron Rodgers back in Green Bay. I like Derrick Henry a ton. He's supposed to be the centerpiece of Arthur Smith's offense behind a top 10 offensive line. And we saw what he did during the fantasy playoffs last year when they saddled him up and rode him 20 times per game. I like several of those guys in that round three range. Marlon Mack, another one, Devontae Freeman, I'm also rather infatuated with. So you can wait on the running back position. So, again, if you're there at the back end of round one, go wide receiver, wide receiver. You know, rounds one and two, go get an OBJ. Go get a Julio Jones. Go get a Michael Thomas. Go get a Devontae Adams if you're at nine overall. The floors on those guys are so high because they're volume kings, and they're in great offensive situations for the most part, and they're tied to competent quarterbacks. But Todd Gurley, our own Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports reported this about 10 days ago after talking to Sean McVay and the coaching staff. He came away and believed that the Rams were only going to give Gurley about 65% of the snaps. He played 88.8% of the snaps last year, and there's no guarantee on those 65% of snaps when he's on the field that he's even going to touch the rock, 55-60% of the time with Daryl Henderson and Malcolm Brown looking over his shoulder. So there's just too many smoke signals here. It's too risky for me. Stay far away again from Todd Gurley.
All right, we're talking to Brad Evans of Yahoo. First wide receiver you go to, who is it, DeAndre Hopkins, Devontae Adams? Where do you go?
Well, for me, it's DeAndre Hopkins, but it's really 1A, 1B between him and Devontae Adams. They're both beasts. I don't know if you saw the NFL.com commercial with DeAndre Hopkins catching balls upside down, Spider-Man style. It's ridiculous. You can find it on social media. It was making the rounds over the weekend. He's got the sickest hands in the league, just makes ridiculous catch after ridiculous catch, and I really like that offense as a whole. You know, adding Duke Johnson is another dimension there. You get Will Fuller back. If Kiki Kuti can stay healthy and get back on the field, the Houston Texans look quite lethal in terms of their scoring prowess. So, I'm a big fan of DeAndre Hopkins. He's the one of ones for me. But, you know, Devontae Adams, I think, is a lock. If you're in Jersey, you want to go over to the Meadowlands, go to the FanDuel Sportsbook, you want to wager on Adams leading the league and receiving touchdowns, I believe the odds, last I checked, are at 10-1. They're printing and giving you money. Take that wager.
After Travis Kelce, who is the golden goose at tight end, how do you break down the next couple of spots, and where do you go? And how early do you go for a tight end if you miss out on Kelce?
Well, Kelce right now, believe it or not, it's very trendy for him to go in the back half of round one. I think that's lunacy. I think people are nuts to do that.
Where would you take him then?
I wouldn't take him there. I wouldn't take him in round two. I'd rather aim for a George Kittle. I would rather aim for a Zach Ertz. It's just you can make a strong argument for that. I think strategically it's not a great move. I'd rather draft at running back or wide receiver. I think there's a fairly a very good amount of depth at tight end this season after the big three. Again, after Kelce, Ertz, and Kittle, you can get a guy like O.J. Howard, who I think is on the precipice of a major breakout this season, a guy that led all targets all tight ends, in yards per target last season. Also averaged over 16 yards per catch. And that defense is rancid in Tampa Bay. Going to be a high-volume situation across the board for all the targets there, including Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. I like Hunter Henry. I like Evan Ingram as well because Eli's got alligator arms. He's going to be short-arming it all over the field across the middle to try to shy away from some of that pressure. So even an Austin Hooper later on who caught 71 balls last year, you're getting in the triple figures in terms of overall ADP. Mark Andrews of Baltimore has been making some serious noise in training camp, and he established a strong rapport with Lamar Jackson when Jackson became the full-time starter last year. So there are options there at tight end. Again, I just cannot invest. It's too rich for my blood. Travis Kelce in the latter half of round one.
Well, yeah, I mean, especially if you think Mahomes is not going to put up the sick numbers he put up last year. Well, that means Travis Kelce is probably not putting up the numbers he put up last year, which were phenomenal.
That's correct. And if you look at FanDuel's over-unders right now, and you look at Vegas as well and several of the sports books for Patrick Mahomes' passing touchdowns, you know, people have ventured to guess, oh, it's like 47 and a half. You know, there's only 14 quarterbacks in NFL history thrown for 40 touchdowns in a single season. Right now in FanDuel, it's 36 and a half. Follow Jersey, follow Vegas, follow the smart guys, the wise guys who are making those lines, trying to entice the action. They are daring you to bet the over when, in fact, I think the under is going to hit.
Let me ask you about one specific quarterback. Because last night I put on the NFL Game Pass and watched this drive because I wanted to see what he looked like. And I thought a kid was playing quarterback, like a child, and that was Kyler Murray. Give me your thoughts on him.
Oh, do we have another hour? I love Kyler Murray, man. Look, he looked tremendous in that game. You know, the opening stanza of his NFL career. You know, the air raid offense is a bit of a mystery for people that don't know what it's all about. I wrote 1,400 words breaking it down, the entire system, and how Kyler Murray and David Johnson and Christian Kirk and Larry Fitzgerald, how they all fit. And they are pieces in this larger puzzle under Cliff Kingsbury. They're going to throw it probably upwards of 65% of the time. That's the MO of Kingsbury during his days at Texas Tech. This defense is repulsive. Patrick Peterson out the first 6 weeks of the regular season. They have one of the easiest fantasy schedules entering the year from a passing perspective. And again, I always speak to the scoring duality of a lot of players. And Kyler Murray, because he's a jackrabbit on the ground, because he was number one and number two in every single completion percentage category at some small school in Norman, Oklahoma last year. He's a guy that can deliver the ball on time, crisply, right in between the numbers. And then when the pressure breaks, and I know a lot of people say, well, the offensive line is terrible, Evans. That's not a bad thing for a running quarterback. He's going to be opportunistic, and he's going to take advantage. I've said this before, and I'm going to double down on it. He will post numbers similar to what RG3 did in his rookie season, and I believe that was QB6 overall that year.
Wow.
We got a lot more to talk about down the road. I appreciate you coming on today. We'll talk to you plenty as this season slowly begins. Thank you, Brad.
Muchas gracias. Go get Dave Montgomery and Jack Wagons.
Brad Evans, ladies and gentlemen. He's got some energy. It's funny. I was watching Kyler last night, and he looked great. I want to make that point. He did look great. But when I first saw him at a shotgun, I thought a kid was playing quarterback. He looks, and I know they list him at 5'10", but watch it. If you have NFL Game Pass, go back and watch it. I thought a child was playing quarterback, and then you see the football just zoom out of his hand, you know, a million miles an hour. So overall, he was impressive. It's preseason, so you got to take it with a grain of salt, of course.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.